in a bit of a coronavirus conundrum right now. With a large portion of our local populace fully vaccinated and businesses and entertainment venues reopening, it's starting to feel like we're past the crisis. But at the same time, infection rates have started rising again at a rather alarming pace. And still, vaccination rates are declining. Outreach workers struggle tirelessly to reach communities that may not have good information about or access to vaccines.
To get the right resources to the right people at the right time.
And the medical community puts out urgent warnings about the Delta variant, which is far more transmissible.
If you don't do something about it, it's going to get worse.
But should we worry, or should we be getting ready for a summer to We talk all about that as Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. The relentless voices of public health care professionals, doctors, politicians, and scientists echo the plea, get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. And yet the rate of vaccinations in the U.S. and locally continued to dip, even as we see the infection rate climb. In Los Angeles, dedicated volunteers spread out to spread the word through a group called LA Works. Joanne Long, a vaccine support worker with that group, is joining us, and so is Gino Berrigan. He is the founder and CEO of Esperanza Health and Wellness. They are both intently focused on trying to get Angelenos vaccinated and get the message to them. And I want to start with Gino and tell us a little bit about what your organization does.
Absolutely. My organization is Esperanza Health and Wellness Center, and we are in the health equity space. And we try to provide appropriate resources to the underserved communities of Los Angeles County.
How successful has that effort been?
Lately, the effort has been extremely successful. In the areas that we have been working in the last 2 months, the vaccine rate was 25%, and now the vaccine rate is above 75% because of the work that we have done in partnership with LA Works and other nonprofit organizations.
All right, Joe, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Hi, Hal. Thank you so much for inviting us onto the show to talk about this really important subject. We're really, it's a great opportunity to let people know what's going on. So I am a volunteer coordinator with LA Works. LA Works is, if you're not already familiar, is a volunteer action center in Los Angeles that has been working particularly in the volunteer with the vaccinations. Our volunteers are going out into the community to inform residents around mobile and pop-up vaccination sites about the clinic, just to let them know, like kind of like information ambassadors, bringing information about like where the vaccination site is, what time the vaccines are going to be available, and what vaccines are available as well, and any other resources and incentives that that we want to let people know about.
Well, one of the things that I find interesting about what you guys are doing is you do hear from people who basically don't want to take the vaccine for whatever reason, and people have all kinds of reasons. We'll talk about that in a second. But I understand that some of the reasons people aren't getting vaccinated is a lack of understanding of transportation, a lack of understanding of where they can actually get the shot. Gino, is that right? And how do you deal with that?
Absolutely, Hal. That's one of the key issues that we have encountered when people are hesitant in the areas that we have been canvassing. They say that they don't have transportation, that it's not offered at the appropriate time, that they're working. So what we have done is created pop-up clinics and working with clinics that are already giving the vaccine to offer it at times and locations that make it easier for the population that we're trying to serve to get to.
Yeah, you know, Joe, we know the vaccination rate is dipping somewhat. The infection rate is increasing somewhat. So when people tell you, I don't want to get the vaccine, I don't want to do it, what kind of reasons do they give you for saying that?
Yeah, it's such a great question. When we talk to our volunteers about, you know, it's very important that we listen to people's concerns. They're very real. This is a very anxious time for a lot of people, and it can feel very overwhelming, all of the information about vaccines and some of the information and misinformation that's coming their way. We find that, you know, I try to keep in mind when doing this work, one of the very first conversations I had with a group of individuals was, you know, that we were the first people to come and talk to them about vaccines. The only information that they're getting is like through social media, and you know, it can be. We're bringing. We want to make sure that when we're talking to people, that we're very much listening to what their concerns are, and they're very real. Like I already mentioned. So, yeah, some concerns people might have around, you know, will I get sick? Will, you know, from the side effects. Are some of the things that we can talk to them about, like, do they, you know, have they had any friends or family that have been vaccinated? Do they know other people that have been vaccinated? And just, you know, tell them a little bit about your story. Have, you know, if you're someone who's been vaccinated, and you can really get out there and help us with your story.
Well, let me ask, you know, I mean, do people actually tell you things like, I'm afraid they're going to put something in my body that can do something harmful, or they can track me, or do you hear that? And how successful have you been in trying to turn people around in their thinking about getting vaccines?
Absolutely. We do get those type of concerns. And most importantly is we give them literature. We give them resources to do a little bit of research on their own. We go ahead and explain the science that comes behind the vaccine, and we validate their feelings first and foremost. And after that, we encourage them to really think about the future, their family, and the whole entire community.
You know, Joe, it is kind of a double-edged sword sort of thing, because you really can't ask people whether they got vaccinated, I guess, because of sort of HIPAA concerns. But also at the same time, if they tell you that they don't want to get it, and you're faced with trying to see if you can give them a hint of what it might be good for them, do you get people that actually say, okay, I'll get it?
I think that's a tough one for sure. Like, if people feel like they're not ready to have the vaccination today, that's like Gino said, we can give them information. And we often, you know, with pop-up and mobile clinics, we can come back to the same location. And I have had that experience where we've gone back a second time, and someone who was hesitant the first time, they did see their friends, other people they know, get vaccinated, and that they were okay. And so the second time you go back, they are willing to get vaccinated.
In fact, there's a vaccine clinic coming up this Friday in Panorama City at the Valley Indoor Swap Meet. Thank you, Joe and Gino, for being with us. Good luck and continued success on the hard work that you're actually trying to do. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, Alpha, Beta, Delta, Lambda. We're looking at a dizzying array of COVID-19 variants, but what does it all mean? And should we be worried? We'll get some answers right after the break. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. The COVID-19 curve in the U.S. is rising again after months of decline, with the number of new cases per day doubling over the past 3 weeks. That increase is being driven by the latest spreading Delta variant. We're also battling the lagging vaccination rates we just spoke about. And of course, dealing with the transmission over the Memorial Day holiday and the 4th of July weekend, when people and parties started to spread a little bit of this stuff as well. So here to talk about all of that is Matt Waxman. He's a professor at UCLA and also an emergency room doctor. What are you seeing in your emergency room, Matt? Are you seeing cases coming in? And basically, are they mostly the Delta variant?
So, Hal, we are definitely seeing COVID. We're not nearly seeing the number that we saw back in January, but there is, I would say, a trickle of cases. And those are in the unvaccinated. I have yet to see anybody who's been vaccinated with coronavirus in the hospital.
But it has happened, because we know of cases where people who have been fully vaccinated do get it. They just don't. It's like a cold, right, for them?
yeah, they're not getting severe disease. The latest data that we have from England, where Delta is the most dominant strain, data from Israel, is that we are not, and here in the United States, we are not seeing people with severe hospitalizations, people needing a ventilator, needing the intensive care unit. We have just not seen it with Delta and people that are immunized.
So let's talk about Delta for a minute. And we've also heard about Delta Plus, and now we've heard about Lambda. What's with the Greek alphabet here? What's going on?
Well, thank the CDC for the Greek alphabet, because we used to call these strains by a number. For example, there was the A strain, which was, you know, B117. We had to memorize all these numbers. So now it's Alpha, Beta, Delta. And what this represents are mutations, in that the virus itself, we expect it to mutate. It's an RNA virus, and it changes kind of the genetic code, the letters in its alphabet, very, very slightly. In the Delta variant, we have about 4 to 6 to 7 of the letters that are significant that have changed, and it makes it kind of the fittest and the fastest strain. And it's sticky, it sticks to our cells better, and it makes people sicker.
And so that's largely what we're dealing with now. We hear the Delta variant. And so with regard to the Delta variant, vaccination clearly is one way to sort of deal with that. But what do you want to tell people about dealing with these variants as they keep coming forward one after another after another?
I want to tell people that the vaccine works. So no matter what vaccine you've got, the biggest thing that clinicians like me who work day to day in an emergency room want to get across to the public is, whether it's Alpha, Beta, Delta strain, the vaccine works in terms of saving your life from a ventilator, from needing to go into an ER very sick. The vaccines do indeed work, and that we do expect these viruses to change, and the vaccines will change in the future also. Thankfully, for now, the vaccines work against these strains.
Let's just talk about kids. Let's talk about kids and getting vaccinated. School's not that far away in the fall. Take a moment and talk about that.
Sure. So we are waiting from data from studies that are going on now. We hope to have some answers middle to end of August about what to do with 2 to 11-year-olds to vaccinate them. There's a large ongoing study now looking at safety in this age group. There are some people that have gotten 10, 11-year-olds vaccinated who are actually doing really well. We need more data, but it's coming soon, hopefully.
People's fears about the vaccine, and they're legitimate. I mean, you can't downplay what people are concerned about. But somehow, it can be hard to sell, you know, the notion of a vaccine to somebody who is just putting up a wall. What have you found to be the best method of convincing somebody you should have a vaccine?
So, Hal, I think the first thing is acknowledging that their concerns are real and legitimate. And as a healthcare provider, just listen. So just listening to their concerns and trying to explain that right now, for example, that the largest outbreaks of COVID in the United States are in the places that are have decreased vaccinations. So, for example, in the southern Appalachian states, such as Missouri, Georgia, West Virginia, we are seeing higher rates of hospitalizations than we would expect. And these are in people who are unvaccinated. So I think that's the most persuasive argument that we can give.
Does it look like we're going to need a booster?
Good question. So Pfizer right now is studying a booster for their vaccine. The Centers for Disease Control this week said, right now, because the vaccines are effective, we do not need a booster. But what we really need is a third dose. It's not a third dose, but 2 doses in every arm. And that is our focus right now. So for right now, no booster.
All right. So the bottom line is, people tend to want to feel they're protected if they have a vaccination. Let's just answer the question, are they? Are they fully protected?
So they're protected from hospitalization and they are protected from severe disease. This is all a game of risk. No matter what we do in life is a risk, whether you're driving, flying, you know, getting COVID out in the wild this summer. And being vaccinated decreases your risk substantially of, one, getting the disease itself, but 2, really being hospitalized and having your life at risk from this terrible infection.
All right. Well, bottom line, and we have just 30 seconds left. Your advice is get vaccinated.
My advice is get vaccinated. Find a healthcare professional that you've known, that you've trusted, and really take the time and sit down with them. Listen to their spiel, their argument about why you should get vaccinated, and do your part. The more of us that are vaccinated, the less this virus will spread.
Dr. Matt Waxman, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Hal.
All right, take care. Coming up on Fox 11 News and Death, it's been a long time since we've been able to go out to entertainment venues and mingle and have a good time. Now, that those venues are reopening again, what do we have to look forward to? We talk to the principal conductor of the Hollywood Bowl right after this. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Entertainment venues continue to reopen. Life is starting to feel like it's like it did before the pandemic. It's a very exciting summer for those of us who have felt cooped up for so long. And in fact, as a wise man said at the Hollywood Bowl not too long ago, it feels like a beautiful country again.
It's a beautiful country that understands challenge and obstacle and difficulty and knows how to rise to the occasion. It is even a country that has learned what patience really is. It's also a country that clearly understands what freedom is. And this just feels free to me to be together again in community.
What a great message. Really, what a warm and enthusiastic message. The audience responded to it. That wise man is Thomas Wilkins. He is the principal conductor of the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra. He's with us. Okay, I got to ask you. First of all, thanks for being with us, Maestro. It's nice to see you.
It's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And when I watched you on July 3rd, the first of two 4th of July spectaculars there at the Hollywood Bowl, you were an inspiration. You got out there on the stage. You told us all that were in the audience. I think there must have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 18,000 of us to welcome back. And yep. Those words we just heard. And how did that feel to you being on stage after this whole pandemic experience?
You know, it's funny that you would say that because I was standing in the wings about to come out for the first time. And I thought to myself, holy cow, I haven't felt this in over a year. And I was just standing there waiting to go out. And even that felt special to me. And I knew we were back at that moment.
Well, as somebody who was in the audience, and I got to tell you, dancing at my seat a little bit, too, I felt that enthusiasm. And it felt to me like people were finally glad to get out the door, finally glad to be amongst other people. Did you get that sense yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the minute that, in fact, even when we got to orchestra rehearsal, even the orchestra on stage, they were early. Getting the rehearsal, and they were warming up early, and they were excited to be making music together again. And sure enough, you could feel the energy from backstage of just the people in the house. And the minute that we walked out on stage, I mean, they erupted. They felt as if, okay, now we're back. Now this is real. This is not our imagination.
How was this for the members of the orchestra? I mean, they've been cooped up for, what, 15 months themselves?
Yeah. I mean, finally, we are making music not in front of a Zoom camera, you know? Or teaching a lesson in front of a Zoom camera. And, you know, music is a communal experience. We need to be together around this thing called entertaining. And we enrich each other when we're that close together. And so we feed off of each other. The energy goes back and forth. And it was just a delicious treat to be back together on that stage.
Those are two good words to put together, delicious treats. So what are the delicious treats we might be looking forward to as we go through this Hollywood Bowl season?
Well, I have coming up the great R&B artist, Lettucey, is coming very soon. Cynthia Erivo is coming with me. I have a Duke Ellington show coming in September with the LA Phil. We're just jumping in. Both feet. The interesting thing is that we had to do things very quickly because, you know, all of a sudden we're open and we got to get rolling. So everything is just sort of spinning out the gate pretty fast.
You know, as I was out there in the collection area where people are before they start coming into the gates and into the bowl, people were talking about, you know, geez, I haven't felt this in a long time. I haven't done this in a long time. But there still is COVID out there, and there still is the Delta variant out there. And to what extent do people in your industry worry about that? And when you bring people together into a bowl environment like that, to what extent do you have levels of concern?
Well, part of what we have been doing really started, for me at least, as early as last October, because orchestras figured out that there's an audience out there, to your point, that's really hungry for this. And so we had to create, we had to do our due diligence and create protocols, first of all, that made all the musicians safe on stage. Of course, we were spread it out 6 feet. We were all masked, but we were all creating music. And so I think we have been ahead of the game in regards to protocol and safety measures just for our musicians. And so it was a natural extension to start to think about, now how are we going to extend this? Once we started letting audiences back into the room, now how are we going to protect them? And so from the very beginning, we had things like don't do concerts with an intermission in the early days. You know, we were letting, at least for me in Omaha, we were letting 25% of the audience into the house. No intermission, so no one is forced to be crammed into a bathroom break kind of thing, you know, and spread out in the audience, and everyone had to wear masks and, you know, hand sanitizers all over the building. Leave the building, enter the building in one door, leave the building in another door. So it's, again, I think we were sort of ahead of the curve in that regard, because we knew how important it was to get music back into the ears and the hearts of our citizens.
I think that's probably true. And, you know, just you mentioned Omaha. You work with the Omaha Symphony. You work with Boston. I think you're in Florida right now as we talk. And of course, you just got your contract extended with the Hollywood Bowl. Congratulations to that. And I'll just leave you on this note. When I was in high school, I ran for drum major, and I did this. So I have an appreciation for people like you who did this. You did a great job. I enjoyed you, and I enjoyed talking to you this morning. Thanks so much for being with us, Thomas Wilkins.
Good to see you.
Thank you. And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. Well, that's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a cool week, and let's go out with some cool in the gang. See you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.